Okay, well, I am Betsy Cavendish. I'm the mayor's general counsel and have the honor of chairing this advisory committee for the Office of Administrative Hearings. It's September 9th at 3:36, and we're calling into order, wishing everybody, hope everyone had a happy summer and back to work here in good, good energy for this important work. So we have a number of people in the audience, and I think it makes sense not just to have the list, the sign-in list, but we're small enough group. If people could say who they are and what office they're with, it would be great to know who's joining us today for this advisory committee.
Hi, I'm Rachel Lucas. I'm a supervising attorney of the legal counsel division at OAH.
I'm James Ishida. I'm the new clerk for OAH.
Welcome.
I'm Erica Pearson. I'm the administrative law judge. I'm the principal for DC Public School cases, and we're on that side.
Emily Tatro. I'm a policy analyst with the Council for Court Excellence.
I'm Tracy Velasquez. I'm the senior policy analyst for the Council for Court Excellence.
I'm Leslie Meek, and I'm an administrative law judge with the Office of Administrative Hearings.
My name is Maya Ellis, and I'm an attorney advisor with the OAH.
Hi, Sharon Goody, administrative law judge at OAH.
Paul Handy, I'm administrative law judge and principal for Department of Public Works and now DCRA.
I'm Audrey Jenkins, administrative law judge at OAH.
Signing in.
Yes, I'm Eric Rice, acting executive director of OAH.
Great, and joining me as other board members.
Hi, I'm Melinda Bowling, DCRA director.
Hi, I'm Tony Jackson, Chief of Equity at OAG.
I'm
Adam,
Adams.
And the agenda has been posted online duly, and I think probably sent by email to a number of you. So do you want to give any further introduction, Tony, about what kind of work you do and what brings you to this?
Well, sure. But I was appointed by the Attorney General. I supervise the equity section in the Public Interest Division of the Attorney General's Office, and we handle all complex litigation, class actions, constitutional challenges, districts, agents. Many of you probably know that we work in this section because we represent all the
do you want to say anything more about what brings you to set up CRA for this?
Certainly. Previously, my role as general counsel, we appeared before the Office of Administrative Hearings in many cases. All of our actions that involve anything other than the zoning regulations are appealed here first before challenging the process. And so I'm happy to join and to be able to add our recommendations and suggestions.
Thanks. A few people just joined us, if you'd like to introduce yourselves to.
Oh, great. Hello, my name is Elizabeth Figueroa. I'm an ALJ at the Office of Administrative Hearings.
And I'm Wanda Tucker, an ALJ at the Office of Administrative Hearings.
All of our showing up data along the other part.
Great. Thank you.
And someone else?
Yes. Denise Wilson Taylor, administrative law judge.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So I think now let's, we have the minutes, so that would be just for the members to approve. Did you really have a chance to review the minutes?
No.
No, you didn't get the minutes?
No.
Okay. Well, I will give you my copy, and if you can, we'll take that approval in a few minutes. Neither of you were here, so I think I was here, so maybe I'm the only one, and you were here. So, you know, come to think of it, I may be the only one who can't really approve it, because I think I'm the only member who was here last time, so I reviewed them and I approved. Okay, you can review that. So for that, I'm going to turn this over to our chief and hear a report from you.
Thank you, Bessie. And before I start into my more substantive comments, I did want to welcome our newest members, Tony and Linda, have been friends and colleagues and other guys for a number of years, and it's great to see you back in the roles that we're in. And I make the same pledge to you that I've made to my colleagues and to Betsy, which is just transparency and the information we need. Our responsibilities. That's it. What I'd like to do very, very briefly and invite my colleagues to the extent they feel the need to correct something I say to chime in to add to that. Just sort of an update on some of the larger events that have taken place since the last time we met. I think the first good news, certainly from my perspective, is on July 14th, that was confirmed, and so I'm actually official when we met the last time I was acting at the call.
Yes.
And so I am official. The first item on the agenda is our collaboration with Council for Court Excellence. As most of you know, the Council for Court Excellence and information groups got a grant from the City Auditor's Office to conduct sort of a retrospective and a review of the operations of the Office of Administrative Hearings. And after a series of preliminary meetings and the kickoff will be an all hands meeting in the Office of the Attorney General, and Ms. Tetro and Ms. Vasquez, both in the back on the right, are here should any of the advisory members have questions about the specific scope of their responsibilities. What I'm happy to report is that the communications have been forthcoming and helpful to both sides. We had a conference call yesterday afternoon in which we discussed some of the finer points that are going to become more relevant as we kick off this exercise next week. They request some certain kinds of information. They also ask for access to some of the judges to discuss various aspects of what the judges do. We're going to talk to our new clerk, Mr. Ishida, and as well as our acting executive director, and Richard as well. Also, since we last met, I did want to formally introduce Mr. James Ishida. This is our official report. He came to us on the 13th of July, and he's been one of the best in the office thus far. He's brought a wealth of experience, but also some new ideas to help us look at our business model and operations. I'm also happy to report that we have extended an offer, and the offer has been accepted by Mr. Van Arendelle, who's going to be our new IT director. And he is supposed to be, Aaron, is he supposed to begin again before the end of September? Is that your
Yes.
Program? And he will begin before the end of September. We have been visiting client agencies that we serve, and as recently as yesterday, Judge Handy and a number of staff at the clerk's office went to the Department of Public Works to meet with them on what will be a five-monthly scheduled meeting here and there to discuss their business, our business, and how to make them both grow better than they do today. We have also had visits with the Department of the Environment and a couple of others, my colleagues will be able to call them. We have done a number of trainings, which the chair of our training committee, Judge Fitzgerald, will be at a moment. We'll be happy to give them some more information on it if that's desired as well. And we have some additional training scheduled as we get a little bit closer to the end of the month as well. This is the judge paper role, this is better, but we discuss the nature of the data and subject matters of this particular training skills. We filed in early August an annual report for FY 13 and 14, and it will be on time. There's a lot of catching up. We're pleased that it's done.
Do you want to share any highlights of that?
I think better choice here, but it's easier to let my colleagues do that. And or it was made available, as I recall, that you received, sent it to the council, and the Senate also, I thought, to you. You could
yes.
Do some, and I cannot recall, did our members get it as well? If not, then we certainly will get it to is it available online, Eric?
Sure.
Okay. But anyhow, we
should go up under proactive for
We have to for a 5-14. It ended up being more a summary document than one that was open in our state for 4 years or for a number of practices. Just time and some of the information just goes correctly. Let's see. Probably in the next couple of weeks, with a goal towards having something a little more permanent in place early in the next fiscal year. But still, I'm going to start beta testing some proposed changes and suggestions to operations. And I've formulated some ideas and some suggestions with other staff in the agency that I want to circulate to everybody for their thoughts and comments and reactions. And you all, probably literally in the next 2 weeks. You have a fair opportunity to comment and we have ample discussions. And then what works we keep, what doesn't work we reject and go back to the drawing board. And along the same lines, Council Report is here, as I mentioned. I expect part of their exercise and their responsibility to offer their thoughts and suggestions on some of our existing practices. My recollection, Tracy, tell me if I'm right, this project is scheduled to go for roughly about a year.
Correct.
So we would be engaged with the Council Report Excellence until probably late next summer.
Right. I think we're supposed to have the report done by July 1st. Got off to a little bit of a slow start for a variety of reasons, so it'll definitely be done by the end of the summer.
I think those are sort of the highlights, unless any of my colleagues or other attendees have something that they feel I should have added and simply need to add to.
Great, thank you. Do you want to add anything, Ms.
Velasquez?
Velasquez, yeah. Yes. Okay. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about the remit for this audit? Is it management or practices or
sure.
Or
do I need to talk into a mic for the record or?
I think that's better. This one. There are room mics, but okay, this will be.
Well, I'll just give you a quick update. I don't know to what extent the committee knows that about 15 years ago, the Council for Excellence did the original study that looked at the creation of a central hearing panel. And the 1999 study was formative in terms of the legislation that was created in 2001 that created the Office of Administrative Hearings. So the auditor asked us if we would do a retrospective report, looking at basically the question of was the legislation, the intent of the legislation met? So was access to justice for matters involving the city improved through the creation of a central hearing panel instead of the old, you know, everyone had their own different adjudication and different sets of district law judges and procedures and all. So what we'll be doing is gathering input from customers. So that'll include offices that use the Office of Administrative Hearing. It'll include litigants and people who represent litigants. It'll include administrative law judges and other staff at OAH. And also we want to make sure we touch base with the mayor's office and city council because we see them also as stakeholders in this. We'll also be doing a review of court operations to understand case management and the workflow. We'll be looking at national data and recent advances in similar hearing panels around the country to see if there's any models or practices that the district should consider adopting. and also be looking at current laws, policies, regulations to see if there's anything that stands in the way of the most effective administration of justice. So if there's any recommendations we can make around policies, procedures, or laws that mostly would probably come from the stakeholders, I imagine, we'll make those recommendations as well. So we hope to have a report done by July 1st or soon thereafter. That will be available to, obviously, the DC auditor who requested it, and other DC public officials, and the general public.
Very comprehensive. Will you, in addition to doing your interviews, be having anything like a Survey Monkey where people can respond anonymously and perhaps
see
under your official position?
We'll be getting information through a variety of means. We'll be doing a Survey Monkey for all the administrative law judges and probably touching base with as many as we can in person as well. Also, we met for the phone with the chief and his staff to figure out how we can best get a survey out to people who come before the OAH. So, is it send a mailing out to them with a Survey Monkey link? Is there another way to stand there in court and hand out information? So, figuring out what's the most expeditious way to engage people. We also think that we might be able to reach some people through sort of stakeholder groups who represent clients and through attorneys who might represent businesses to also get, see if they can help us gather as well. So we're looking for information both about the process and about the outcome. So looking at, you know, did they feel like the process made sense, was it timely, and also did they feel like the outcome was fair and just. We'll also be looking at appeals. So, you know, how often are cases appealed? What are the characteristics of appeals? People feel like they have access to the appeal process, so we'll be looking at cases that go the next step from OAH to the DC Court of Appeals.
Thank you. Mr. Ishida, would you be able to give us the report?
Of course. Would you like me to?
That'd be great. Yeah. I did review the minutes, and one of the key points that the chief said in June was he hoped to hire a clerk of court. So I'm sure you would represent a deliverable on this quarter.
Chief can definitely shake
my office.
Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is James Ishida. I'm working for it, and it's a pleasure to meet all of you. I'd like to say that I am so new, I don't even have business cards yet. But I think in the time I've been here, we've gotten into a few projects that I think you can be interested in hearing. But before I start, I just want to say my introduction. I come from the Four Courts. I was an attorney with the Judicial Office. I also staffed the U.S. Judicial Conference and the Rules Committee, so I was there for 13 years. I very much am still in the federal system. So that's the first 25 block to OAH. That actually informed some of the projects that we worked on when we started. So I have three that are just being worried about. The first project that we started was, I'm interested in automating a lot of our internal case management, case handling processes. And this was something that I did at my old agency. When I first started, and I'll give you an example. When I first started at my agency, our office was responsible for processing all the incoming comments and suggestions that were submitted to the Rules Committee. And some years that could be a tremendous volume, depending on the proposed amendments that were at the time for public comment. And so I looked at the process and I just felt like, you know, it seemed kind of clunky, kind of cumbersome. And I documented much to my opinion, because the manual process took 39 separate steps. And I just thought that it has to be a way we can do this. So I convened my team, got my IT staff together, and we brainstormed ways we could apply the process. And we took a process that went from 39 separate manual steps down to 9 almost fully automated steps. we reduced the processing time by 30%, and we reduced the errors by close to zero. And it's my hope that we can replicate that here in the organization. So we've started now to document the processes and how to process the cases. And that's the second step is we're trying to standardize and refine the cases processing. That paves the way for the third step, which is then to automate what we can, feeding everything in into our electronic case analysis and really calling the court. And so I'm hoping that we can replicate the same efficiencies that we did in micro efficiency, time saving, cost saving. And I think we can do this and maximize this performance and operation. So that's my first project that I've gotten started. The second one kind of dovetails with what the chief had already mentioned about looking at ways where we can maximize the way we do work. And so some of the things that I thought about is ways where I can reorganize the various office in ways where we can kind of devote resources to the areas that we need to, like the resource center to be out in public application, but also in ways that we can reduce redundancies and increase efficiencies for people in places where we should match their strengths. And so I'm still very much in the, I guess, the fact gathering part of that, but it's a process that I want to get started and I want it to dovetail approach. That's the second thing. The last project that I want to start with comes very much from my experience in the federal work, and that is cost containment. Over the last 7 years when I was there, cost containment was probably the number one priority in the federal courts for a lot of good reasons. And so when I got here, there were a number of things that I looked at with the help of Mr. Rice about items where we spend our budget on. Things where we spend our money. And some of the things that I thought of, well, maybe there's a better way. One of the ways that we did it in my old agency was we digitized a lot of paper. And I'll give you an example of a good example of this. So when I staffed the rules committees, there were six committees. Each committee met at least twice a year. So we had 12 meetings. For every meeting that we was held, a book about 500 pages, and oftentimes there were multiple volumes. And so what I did one year was we eliminated the paper, we completely digitized the agenda materials, and our print shop had estimated that by doing that we saved $70,000 in printing costs and in postage. And I think we can do something here, and with Eric's help, what we did was we started out with a mini pilot project. We bought one scanner and we put it on a standards desk. We wanted to see how that person would use it, and we had suggestions and ideas. The short of it is I think the pilot was a tremendous success. So what we're going to do is order a scanner for every staff in the works office. My goal, like I did in the federal court, was to this paper is expensive, paper is inefficient, paper takes long. And so what I did was when I got first started, our office was entirely paper. Everything was paper. By the time I left, everything was paper. We were as close to 100% paperless office as we can. I think we can replicate that. I don't know why it's here. Looking at the entire process, the way we do it. Creating automated electronic reports that handle our business. This is, I think, three of the projects we're looking at and we're working on. It's all towards automating, making everything more efficient, more productive, saving time and costs, and just being a more responsive agency. So that's kind of what we're working on now. You were the other members of the committee.
I do have a question about the e-court. So will it be a true electronic file system similar to PACER or, you know, the usual federal court, or is it what you had. Okay, Tom, Chris, did you have a spirit for it?
That would be, there are differences between the two systems. I'm not very engineered, but I will say this. If we can come close to what the federal system is using, that would be, a huge step in terms of access to records, the ease of filing, and how it's processed in the future. So I personally want to see something closer to it, but a long answer.
Thank you.
So next on the agenda is Rachel Lucas's report as supervisory attorney.
Just going to comment on a few things. Terms of OH's jurisdiction, substantive jurisdiction. The first is there's obviously a big push towards synthetic drug enforcement in the district, and the emergency and temporary legislation that went into place earlier this summer imposes some very strict deadlines on OEH in terms of adjudicating appeals from ceilings of premises where synthetic drugs are found. We, as a permanent legislation is pending and there'll be a hearing next week, we'll be working with council and also with the mayor's office on discussions about what is a reasonable amount of time for the judges to adjudicate those cases as quickly as possible, but in a time that's actually doable. The 2-day turnaround that's proposed is extremely quick. I've heard from the judges who have heard these cases, and I believe Judge Jenkins, who's here, has had one case, and then our attorney advisor, Maya Ellis, has also been doing some work on monitoring and working with the judges also directly on the cases. So that's one thing. Another is that for a number of years, we've adjudicated cases for the Department of Behavioral Health by an MOU. For a number of reasons, we've given notice of termination of that MOU, but we are working with Department of Behavioral Health on drafting legislation to provide that jurisdiction over their cases be given statutorily in at least the areas where the MOU had given us jurisdiction before, as well as potentially some additional areas.
So this is kind of a naive question, but when the OAH was created as this central unified court, is the default when there are hearings that the hearings come to you or with any specific type of jurisdiction, do you need an explicit grant of jurisdiction?
There needs to be an explicit grant either through the Establishment Act itself, or the Establishment Act also gives the chief the ability to accept jurisdiction by MOU or to accept single cases by the local agencies.
So, how many agencies do your appeals do? That's
a good question. I don't know if I know the entire universe of agencies that they're not hearing.
So now DBH will have to do their own appeals until the legislation is in place?
The MOU will actually terminate on October 13th. We will continue accepting case letters until then. They are hoping to get emergency legislation introduced as soon as possible. So depends on how that process goes.
Rachel, just to add, we agreed, and you drafted a single case agreement that DBH submit in the meantime with each case so that we do continue to hear those, but it's on an individual basis when we're doing the current.
So, do you have a fair time in mind that you think is a benchmark on the synthetic drugs where a business gets shut down? and then they want to appeal that order to close. And, you know, every day they're losing money or customers, but, you know, what's the fair time for getting everybody in?
I don't know that we have an agreement among the judges on what would be a fair time. I know that 2 days between a hearing and a final order being issued is incredibly quick.
Two business days
between hearing and final order is what the emergency and also the proposed decision entails.
Again, maybe this is kind of a naive question, but are the orders just very simple that it's upheld or it's overturned? Isn't it like a one element offense? Like you're selling synthetic drugs, so it's
the analysis of what is a synthetic drug or what constitutes a synthetic drug that, or the intent to sell synthetic drug, can be somewhat complicated. There are a number of factors in the current regulations and also in the proposed legislation. And the orders that have been issued have taken some time. The trials themselves have taken some time as well, and they're not quick turnarounds. Like some of our cases are a lot faster.
So, what are you thinking? Is it a week, or are you thinking weeks, or a month, or
I don't know that I'm not in a position to say right now, because I think we actually haven't fully adjudicated under the emergency legislation yet, because Judge Jenkins' case was dismissed by motion of the parties. The cases that we have adjudicated under the old legislation were, some of them had multiple hearings, and all of them took at least a few weeks to get from hearing to final.
After the hearing date, you mean?
Yes.
And were the businesses shut down in the interim?
I don't believe that they were in those cases. The two cases where the revocation of the license was ultimately upheld, I don't think that they were sealed and shut down in the interim. Although I'm not 100% certain on that.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember the order from my desk.
There were two that were adjudicated as well in the licenses being revoked. There was a third that the final order revoked the license, and then on motion for reconsideration, that was overturned, and the license was restored. And then there's a few other cases where they settled.
Is there anything else on E4 case management?
If you have a sort of general update, at least in my table, or upgrade, and then change steps, we're still pretty much on schedule.
Yes.
And if you just share with the members of the committee roughly what that schedule is.
Well, one of the things that we're working on right now is we are working on a project plan with our vendor. So we're going to be meeting, we've started the meetings already, we're going to meet in some user groups to get information out as to what's needed for enhancements. And then once we share that with our vendor in the next few weeks, we'll have a project plan for FY16. And inclusive of that will be going from version 5 to version 7. So we have a test environment in place right now. We're going to start testing, so we're going to basically organize that particular testing. But I'm thinking spring, maybe a year from now, is when a lot of things will happen that we want to happen as far as the e-filing, as far as a lot of the automated systems are currently not in place.
And including the public portal.
Yes.
Betsy, I had a comment going back to Mr. Sheena.
Yes.
Okay, and talking about the scanning, one thing that we would just want to make you sensitive to is often at DCRA, and I'm sure at other agencies, we would get numerous orders at the same time. And so if one of your staff are scanning in, let's say, 20 orders and then electronically uploading it, that can be burdensome on the agency because it's a big file, one, going across email. Two, to separate out the individual orders, which can be handled by different attorneys and different program offices, where it may reduce costs on your side and increase costs on our side because we've got to print it out to get it to wherever it goes. And even if you could do it electronically, it takes a lot of staff time to pull out each individual PDF and send it to the assigned staff.
No, I hear what you're saying because when we did that on the federal side, it had to be a very thoughtful, deliberative process where we got all stakeholders involved. It, in a way, it reminded me kind of like a whack-a-mole kind of situation where we might have taken care of our problem, but another one popped up, and we didn't want to create more work for another office by us digitizing because even when we sent out the agenda materials, like I said, some members still wanted to print it out. Well, that meant their judge's staff would have to print out 500-plus pages, and we didn't want to put anyone to that expense. So there was a way we worked around that. But I definitely hear your concerns, and we definitely put a lot of thought into this.
If I could add to that, part of what is our various agencies and so forth will handle both of the part of the discussions as well. We did a little bit of that with UW yesterday and fully expected to treat them in their staff. As well, some of the other agencies that might be impacting the senior situations, the police and our departments. So none of this will happen in a vacuum or certainly without the
family. And just one current operating issue that I wanted to bring up is that I'm not sure what we used to do before OH moved to its new location when we were back at 941, but one of the issues is misdirected mail, and so if DOEE's mail comes to us, then we have to assume that our mail went somewhere else, but then of course the judges, not knowing that, expecting us to respond to the orders at the time they tell you to respond to the orders, and it's a burden because we don't even know there was an order issued, much less where it was redirected to. And then, you know, it's just on the kindness of strangers getting it to where it needs to go. So if there's something that we can do in the meantime with the paper, just so there's a better tracking of when it leaves your office and that DOEE actually went to DOEE and DCRA actually came to DCRA, that would be.
We've had a number of internal discussions already about confirming and verifying where mail or communications from our office goes to. So we're very much in tune with that.
Thank you.
Sure.
And I would just add, part of reducing the number of steps will also facilitate that. We are aware of the issue.
If you have any general advice based on the case management systems you've been working with over the years?
I've mostly been in the federal system for the last 7 years, so I've been in the federal system. And I don't think that case management system is that bad either.
We are moving on from item 8. We said, let's set a time and date for the next meeting. And at the last meeting, we talked about inviting stakeholders and having sort of a public roundtable. I don't know if this could in any way be coordinated with the Council on Court Excellence, if there's something to be done. You mentioned having some members of the public who were users of the administrative courts and had to merge me. Now, but what we talked about last time sounds like it's what they said.
We could also talk about the call testing. notion of having perhaps at least one of these per year.
Yeah. Off-site. Right. So yeah, we were thinking about being in the community.
Place in
okay.
the community.
So I don't know if anyone on your staff has given any thought to where out in the community might be. Like, are you thinking it might be good to be at one of the rec centers or something like that?
You know, for example, the mayor's last cabinet meeting last week was the Kennedy Rec Center. Mm-hmm. Seven and over. So
yeah.
That's a nice.
Centrally located, it's right on the metro.
They all move by metro.
Yeah. But I think the feeling I was getting at the last meeting was that people wanted a place where the public wouldn't see people sitting on the dais, but was kind of a friendly, we're here to listen atmosphere. So why don't in the next couple of weeks we work with staff to come up with a place, and then at the last meeting we thought quarterly meetings would be good, and so we're looking at the winter, a winter meeting. Does that suit your timetables, Council?
I think that'd be great, yeah. So before the new year would be better. So December, early December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds good. We'll try that. Okay. So at the last meeting when we were talking about convenient times, people thought that 3:30 to 5:30 was a good time, the last section of the day, so that judges and then staff who wanted to come could come without interfering with picking up children or anything like that. Is that still the consensus that late afternoon works, or if it's a public meeting, we want to be doing it in the evening so that members of the public who have other jobs could come? Do you have any feelings on that question? I'm available anytime.
Okay. I think the evening would be better, but it makes some issues for me.
Yeah. Thank you.
I didn't want to interrupt your questions. We have a large number of folks in the DHCF, which is one of our jurisdictions that has experienced an uptick. And a lot of those litigants, self-represented litigants, are elderly and disabled. So they do request hearing times that they feel comfortable or are able to travel. So I just mentioned that in terms of setting the meeting time, particularly in the areas where you've identified where there's a lot of senior housing in that 7th Oak Ward.
Well, that's an interesting point too, because it's dark at 4:45.
That's my point.
Whatever. So you can't please everybody is sort of to live by, but we want to be open and accessible, and so maybe this means we should have like a lunchtime or something. Does that make any sense?
That makes sense, given the judge's point.
Yeah, that's a very sensitive point. Thank you for bringing that out. So why don't we look at the first Wednesday in December at lunch time? So December, we have a cabinet meeting December 2nd. Okay, how about December 3rd around noon, and the place will be announced later. Okay?
Okay.
When is
that meeting? December
3rd. Thursday, December 3rd, noon to 2. Place TBD, and we will make the public announcement, but of course the register isn't going to turn anybody out, so maybe now's a good time for audience participation too. How do we most effectively let stakeholders know about this kind of open forum? I mean, we thought we'd have a few questions to ask folks, but kind of an office hours type of meeting. How would we let stakeholders of the Office of Administrative Hearings know about this?
We can certainly announce it at the post office on a standard basis. Put it on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you get
The legal service providers, the consortium has a listserv that we could get it to. As do the clinical professors for the local law schools.
And we are pulling together lists of stakeholders for CCE that we can distribute. The meetings are just in that by
great ideas. And then the agency council might pick up here. Hear what people have to say. Okay. Good. Is there any old business? New business? Anyone in the audience who came? Did you just come to hear, or did you want to make a point and be heard? Okay. Well, then I think we're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.